I appreciate you all being here tonight. I look forward to this class each week. And I'm continually praying that the things that I say are specifically written in the book. So this isn't the opinion of Dan, and you can call me out on it if you think that it is sometime, because that's important for all of us. We speak where the Bible speaks. In going through the classes, there's 10 chapters in this book. And guess what? We're not going to get through it all. So what I've done is I've chopped this up a little bit. You see the class numbers there on the topics. We spent, counting tonight, 3 weeks or three class periods on the topic of kinds of sin. But I'm going to be skipping through the book topics to give importance to what do we do about it and how can we strengthen each other and ourselves to be prepared for those sins that are befronting us. So I'm just telling you that to say that there's only four more classes left after tonight. And there's a lot of material there that's very good. And the booklet was written by Wendell Winkler. It's an outstanding study book, booklet, and it's full of rich material. But you just can't cover it in 10 weeks. Or 13 weeks, or 16 weeks. I think it would take a long time, David. So the plan, as usual, is we're going to talk about the premise of the lesson tonight. Then we're going to have a little bit of discussion, and that's, you know, where I want to hear from you, and importance to hear. And then we'll talk about some practical applications. Because when you talk about sin, we can all get down. You know, we can put on our weeping garment and drag our feet and act like we're full of sin. But that's not the point of this. The point is to be aware of our weaknesses, to be able to do something about them in our daily lives, and then help others along the way too. So I want everybody to leave here encouraged, not discouraged. So please take it that way. I gave you some homework last week. I don't see anybody waving their homework papers. No, I did not expect you to turn in papers and I'll read them all in front of you. But the homework really is just that. It's for you to take the time to make some application of what you learn. I know that if I don't do that, I don't remember it. And so I know that's not just a characteristic of Dan, that's a characteristic of all of us. So what we're going to talk about tonight, back to this lesson, I'm sorry. We're responsible for our own sins. The propensity in this world today is we blame everybody else for what's going on and want compensation from everybody else. We are responsible for our sins. Not your dad, not your mom, not your son, not your wife, your daughter, nobody. Not the preachers, not the elders. We are responsible. So in being responsible, we have to do something about our sins, ourselves. And it doesn't mean we necessarily don't ask for help. So keep that in mind also as we go through these classes. We're talking tonight about presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. And I was amazed as I studied for this how much is said about presumptuous sins. It's not always in that title, but the implications are filled in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we can only study but a few of those tonight. So what do you think a presumptuous sin is? Anybody? You know, that's you. This is a question. Well, the root word is presuming, right? And you presume that what I'm doing is not a sin, but it is, okay? But we're going to study that word in a little bit more detail because, you know, I was not fully cognizant of all the aspects of presumptuous sins. And I hope tonight we'll go away from here learning a little bit more. I'm sorry.
I always thought presumptuous sin was knowing that
Yeah, that's true. That's a big part of it. And what Diane was saying is when you are doing something and you know you shouldn't be doing it, but you do it anyway, that's presumptuous. But there are a lot of ways that presumptuous is used. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19, verse 13. I'm sorry, my slide was blank. But anyway, Psalm chapter 19, verse 13. And this reads, "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions." I love Psalm 19 for a lot of reasons. But this is a psalm of David. So this is David speaking. And he says, "Keep me from presumptuous sins. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins." We're going to study a presumptuous sin of David in just a few minutes. And I'm not sure when this psalm was written in David's life. You know, whether it's before or after what we're going to study about. But I can imagine it was after. So David's praying to God to keep me from presumptuous sin. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, which is another text that's full of the implications of being presumptuous in our sin. And if you look at verse 10, "And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." And that word dignitaries is really deity, those in authority, like God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, those that speak evil of them. So if we look at the word presumptuous, and this is the English definition. In the Greek, it's just one word, and it's not used very often in the New Testament. But in looking at the English usage of the word, as Bonnie mentioned earlier, presume is part of it, what we presume to be right. So the first part is it's characterized by presumption in opinion or behavior. So whether we presume something to be our opinion or the way we behave, it's unduly confident or bold. It's not boldness in a good way. It's boldness in a defiant way. Another word for it is arrogant. Presumptuous can be arrogance. Forward in the point of being, you know, pushing yourself on people, okay? Impertinent and conceited. You know, these are all great characteristics, aren't they? Anybody want to add these to your repertoire? I don't think so. None of us do. And it's also usurping. Usurping. We don't use that word too much, but we see it all over the place. Usurping is when you assume authority that someone else is due. You assume that authority. And we'll talk about some examples. Then to carry this on, to take upon oneself, to undertake without authority or permission. That's a similar usage of usurping. Lacking in respect. Overconfidence. We should have confidence as Christians, but we shouldn't be confident in ourselves. We are confident because of what God has done for us. Self-assertiveness. Boy, I've been in a lot of management classes where you talk about self-assertiveness. That's not a good characteristic, as I've seen in management, but also in our Christian walk. Lacking knowledge or understanding. So So you can be presumptuous and not understand or know what you're about to do. Self-important. Self-important. So me above others. Haughty. Overbearing. Again, does anybody want these things in their lives? No way. But there is nothing about the word presumptuous and its characteristics that are good. There is no good in being presumptuous. So let's let the Bible define presumptuous. There's a lot of terms here, and they all come out of 2 Peter chapter 2. So why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 4. And I'm not going to read the verses, but I'm going to read the characteristics that are brought out by Peter when he brings forth the word of presumptuous and self-willed. And then he follows with all these things. And there's like 12 verses full of these words. So those who indulge in lust of defiling passion. So this is Peter speaking of those people who were presumptuous and self-willed. Despising authority, bold and willful. You know, some of these same definitions we used in the English word are popping out. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. So you can imagine some instances in the Old Testament and the New Testament when people were blaspheming God. The Jews, the Pharisees, the kings that were opposing Israel, and even the Israelites themselves. Irrational animals. These are Peter's words. They're irrational and they act like animals. And what do animals do? They act by instinct, don't they? They don't have behavioral control. They're creatures of instinct. There's the word. They're born to be caught and destroyed. Blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant. So they're usurping this authority and they don't have a clue of what the impact of their words or their behavior are. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes. They are reviling in their deception. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. You could talk about every one of these things in great detail, but we won't have time to do that tonight. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. They are accursed children. They are forsaking the right way. They have gone astray. They followed the way of Balaam. They gained from wrongdoing. They are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. They are speaking loud boasts of folly. They're boasting about things that don't matter. They're enticed by sexual passions of the flesh. They promise freedom, but are slaves to corruption. They are like dogs that return to its own vomit. And sows, after washing, return to wallow in the mire. So that's a description in one group of passages in the New Testament about presumptuous and self-willed people. And again, there is nothing that we want to add to our lives that are part of those things. And we want to keep them away from ourselves. So again, let's let the Bible continue to define presumptuous. Numbers 15:30 says, "But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is a native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people." So this is in the Old Testament, obviously. And there were non-native people of the Israelites that were with them, weren't there? But he's talking about the Israelites and those people who are not native born or the strangers. Even they, if they do anything presumptuously, if they do anything that we described in all these characteristics, that one brings reproach in the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. It's pretty severe, isn't it? In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 43, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself, but "So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountain." Does that sound like a familiar passage? Now, I'm going to give up my age here. Anybody remember the Cecil B. DeMille movie, The Old Testament? Or, I'm sorry, The Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments? Yeah. Yeah. Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston and Edward G. Robinson. The reason I'm bringing that up, as a child, I saw that. A child, I don't know, it was maybe a preteen. But I remembered Edward G. Robinson leading the Israelites astray. And there's a scene in that movie where he's standing on the golden calf. And he's telling Moses, the character Moses, "Who put you in charge of us? You know, why do we have to do what you tell us to do?" And he was getting the people to rebel. So that is presumptuous. And poor Edward G. Robinson, he didn't fare too well in that show. But anyway, the point is that the Israelites, in many, many respects, during that wandering in the wilderness, were very presumptuous, even back in the period before they were freed from their bondage. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 12. "Now the man who acts presumptuously, it will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel." So these presumptuous sins that we're talking about are evil, and in the Old Testament, they deserve death so that you could put the sins away from Israel. They didn't do it, did they? So I want to go next and talk, first of all, about King David's presumptuous sin. Now, this is the story of David and Bathsheba. But before we get into this passage, I'd just like to ask you, was David presumptuous in his sin with Bathsheba? You know the answer, but now let me ask you, why? Why would you say that? Why was David presumptuous?
He knew he was wrong before he
started. Yeah, that's evident in his behavior.
And he kept on going.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to take the woman and, now I'm going to fix that because I'm going to murder her husband.
Yeah, it leads one sin to another. Any other traits or characteristics, Joe?
Thought he wasn't going to get caught.
He thought he wasn't going to get caught. Yeah, he covered it up. So that's deceit, right? Deceitfulness. Anything else? Well, there's a lot of traits that come out of this, and we'll take a look at them. But then this is when Nathan the prophet came before David and confronted him. And these words always just punch me in the face when I see them. You are the man. After he told him the story about the ewe lamb. You are the man. He didn't come out bashing David over the head about sinning with Bathsheba. He told a story that really got to David's heart. And then he says, you are that man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. So this is showing the depth of David's sin to God. God had given him all these things. He took Samuel away, took him away from Saul, delivered you from Saul. And he says, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? So we can connect those words, despising the commandments of the Lord, with presumptuous. And David did evil in God's sight. Now, we know that God can see and know everything we do. So there's nothing hidden from his sight. So our sins are open and visible. But David, in this case, knew that, yet he went ahead and sinned. And as Tracy was saying, he kept on sinning. So are there other characters in the Bible where you've seen examples of presumptuous sin? Think for a minute. Trudy?
Judah?
Judah. When they saw?
Jezebel.
She was horrible. Not that any of the others are any better, but. Okay, we're gonna look at a couple of others just so that we can drive this point home. Another one would be Cain. Was Cain's sin presumptuous? Now, we don't know all the facts behind what Cain did or why he did it. We have what's given to us in the New Testament. But we can assume, by the fact that God condemned Cain, that Cain knew what to do to sacrifice animals instead of the fruits of the ground. So,
Joseph's brothers
is another example, yeah. So, when we look at this passage in Genesis chapter 4, if you look down in verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. That phrase, sin is crouching at the door, is true for all of us today, isn't it? And it's not sin per se, it's Satan trying to get us to sin, tempting us. And its desire is contrary to you, but what? You must rule over it. And in the New Testament, God gives us everything we need to do to rule over sin, all the tools that we need. So Cain was definitely had a presumptuous sin. In some other references, if you look at Moses striking the rock, you know, Moses knew what he was supposed to do, didn't he? God told him, speak to the rock. And I think, David, you may have mentioned that in a lesson just this past week. But instead of speaking, he brought himself in front of them and he struck the rock. So he was the one doing it, not God. Nadab ben Abihu. This example is brought up a lot. They offered strange fire to God. But you've heard lessons on it. It was fire. But it wasn't the fire that God commanded. And they suffered for it. Uzzah. You know, many people think that's such an unfair thing. Uzzah touched the ark. But what was God's commandment? Don't touch the ark. And here David weaves into this one again because he ordered the ark to be moved. He didn't do as God said, did he? And other people can suffer from someone else's presumptuous sin, suffer the consequences, right? When you follow them. Israel. You know, I think often in the Old Testament about how whiny the Israelites were. I can't say that we aren't whiny too, but the Israelites were always complaining about something. And they are always disobeying the Lord when they knew the commandments that Moses had passed down. And yet, presumptuously, they went ahead and disobeyed them. And there's many examples like Achan and his family. The Israelite who picked up the sticks on the Sabbath in Numbers chapter 5. Okay? Again, they were not to work on the Sabbath. What were all of these things to the people of Israel? The results that they observed. They were examples to them. God gave them clear definition.
That's where a lot of these come out of.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's a big characteristic. So of all those things, now it's time for some discussion. Oh, yes. Eve disobeyed God? Yeah. That was pretty presumptuous back then, too. So what I'd like to do is just stimulate some thoughts from you. And the first thing, what characteristics do you see in play in being presumptuous? We spoke about a few of them.
Self.
Self, yeah. It's all about me. All about me. What I want, and I can shape what I've been taught to let me do what I want. Is what happens a lot in our society, in any society. What else? What are some characteristics? Yeah, I think of situation ethics as, you know, the world defines it. But it's depending on the situation, then I'll obey or disobey. But that's not what we're taught, is it? Other things that are meaningful to you?
Plan.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So we're going to talk about a couple more cases, but how about the second sentence here? Do you recognize presumptuous actions in the religious world today? Religious world is in quotes.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. What kinds of things do you see?
The way they worship.
The way they worship, right? Not in accordance with God's.
When you hear people say, I know what the Bible says, but I feel in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all over the place. Trudy.
You know, they take advantage of people's money.
Yeah, yeah. Money swindlers, I'm sorry. I thought you said money wigglers, and I couldn't figure that one out. Okay. That is very prevalent, isn't it? You know, I'm amazed at all these little community churches that are popping up everywhere, and they've got parking lots full, and, you know, three services, and, you know, they're attracting people.
We can worship any day that we want to, just convenient. We do a lot of things to make things convenient for people.
But boy, I wouldn't want to be one of the leaders of those kinds of things when the Lord comes. Richard. Yeah. And like Sister was saying, it's religions of convenience. You know, what's convenient for me, not what God wants us to do. What's that? Yeah, the way they take the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. We all know that God does love all the sinners, right? But that doesn't mean that we have to accept their behavior. We need to teach them what's right, what God commands. So, I can't believe the bell's rung already. What about within the churches of Christ? And I mean that term, you know, people that call themselves the Church of Christ, but...
I've seen a lot of churches go wrong.
How about instrumental music?
Yeah, they start there.
How about women praying in service? How about women leadership? You know, on and on and on and on.
There's one in Englewood that has two or three services to fit everyone's ideas. You go to the one you believe.
Yeah, the church of your choice, right?
Music, and one is some, I don't know what they are anymore, but
yeah.
All wrong.
So the question is for you to answer, not publicly, but what are your presumptuous sins? Know what they are so you can do something about it. You know, when you're defiant of God's will and do it anyway, that is a presumptuous sin. And just go back and look at all those characteristics in 2 Peter chapter 2 and find out if you got any of them. And if we do, we got work to do. So let me go to the next passage since the time's about to catch us. Carolyn?
We also have to face the assumptions.
Yeah. The elders are there to lead us. And by the way, there are elders in some of these wayward congregations, aren't there? And they're leading their congregations. If you were in that congregation, what's your responsibility? You confront them about that. With the scriptures, not with opinion. So, the last thing that we'll have time for is some practical applications. What I'd like you to do is just think about these things over the week ahead. Obviously, study your Bible. You're not going to know what God's will is if you're not studying the Bible. It's not going to come by sleeping on your pillow. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent. That means work hard at it. To present yourself approved to God. Know God's word and His will, versus our opinion of what we think. Anytime you use the term, I think, this is what we should do. You better have a scripture to back it up. Because there you're walking on unsteady ground. Submit to God. You can't submit and be self-willed. They're just polar opposites. So you have to submit to God. The next page, earnestly pray for understanding and humbleness, a contrite heart, like David's prayer, to keep me from presumptuous sin. And we know from Romans 8:26, we have a helper to help us through difficult times. And then practice. You know, the First John's full of it, the terms of don't just say something, do it. This is a paraphrase, but James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So those are simple things to remember. I'm just going to show you this. You remember last week we looked at this chart, which is basically James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And those are all the steps that we go through that lead to sin and based on our own desire. So I put this together, and you can get it off the web later. Oop, well, maybe not. But anyway, it just is an example of the progressions that we go through and the choices that we have in between those steps. We don't have to yield to temptation. We don't have to yield to our desire. We don't have to be enticed. You know, but if you start at the top and old Barney Fife, nip it in the bud, you know, you won't go any further. The further down you go, the harder it's going to be. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We appreciate you being here tonight.